Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I am Tom.
I am Stephanie.
It's our all-English lecture today, so try to understand everything as we talk to you completely in English. And today we're going to talk about going up, up, and away in our beautiful balloon.
Oh, Tom, I think you were actually quoting the lyrics from a famous song. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you want to sing it for us? You love to sing.
Up, up, and away in my beautiful balloon. That song was made famous by the Fifth Dimension back in the day. Of course, it was way before my time.
That was when we had hippies in America.
Although I don't think that's really a hippie song.
No.
But if you are going for a ride in a hot air balloon, this song might be going through your head because doing such a thing, going for a ride in a balloon, can be quite a thrill, can be quite an exciting experience.
I'd like to try a ride in a hot air balloon. Of course, I would prefer a nice, cool, sunny day and not a hot, humid, or rainy day. Mm-hmm. A hot air balloon has those baskets hanging below and a big balloon on top. I think it would be lots of fun to see the land, the scenery that way from
a
balloon.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there used to be a hot air ballooning club in my university back in the day.
Really?
If you wanted to, you could contact those people and arrange to go for a ride in a hot air balloon over the Iowa countryside. I understand they have them down in Taidong as well. I think Luye, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
They have some kind of mountain there where they have hot air balloons. You can go up a little bit, but they're not going to let you float off over the Atlantic Ocean, or Pacific Ocean, I should say. But in any case, we will be talking about the history of balloons in today's lesson, so let's get to it. Let's talk about balloons in our lesson today. Let's listen. One of the most thrilling ways to enjoy a warm, sunny day is by floating through the air in a hot air balloon. Before airplanes, it was balloons that provided man's first flight toward the heavens above. Even prior to that, smaller hot air balloons incapable of carrying the weight of a human were floated in China nearly 2 millennia ago. The use of floating balloons was taken up by Zhuge Liang during the Three Kingdoms era. He used the airborne flames called Kongming lanterns to send signals during military campaigns. Although direct evidence is lacking, some historians believe that the Chinese also experimented with manned balloons. While there is some mystery regarding whether any pre-modern Chinese person took flight by balloon, there is no doubt that balloons first flew in the Far East. Hundreds of years later, the explosion of scientific thought in Europe brought the balloon to new heights. In the late 1700s, Professor Jacques Charles created the first hydrogen balloon. The balloon was buoyant because it was lighter than air. This development motivated others to create their own hot air balloons. In 1783, both hot air and hydrogen-filled balloons successfully lifted human passengers into the skies over France. The balloon's basic design has been constantly improved throughout the years, and the past few centuries have witnessed balloons' expansion into various aspects of life. While small balloons are used as colorful party decorations, scientists use weather balloons to soar and collect meteorological data from the atmosphere. Balloons are even used by cardiologists to inflate the blood vessels of patients to aid in circulation. With all these benefits, calling the balloon one of mankind's greatest inventions isn't just hot air.
Well, let me first describe what a hot air balloon looks like. It's a large balloon. It's filled with heated air or sometimes hydrogen. We're going to talk about that gas in a minute. And then below that big balloon, there is a basket below it. It's hanging from the balloon. And it's there so it can carry people. And it's the people below the balloon that are actually guiding the balloon to different places. So you're up there floating in the sky in this hot air balloon looking down on everything. Could be lots of fun. But you know what? If there's trouble, I don't know if there's a way to escape and not be killed if you have a hot air balloon accident.
Yeah, I don't know if people take parachutes up there in those balloons with them. I don't think they do. But
maybe nowadays they do.
Possibly. I don't know. But in any case, there have been reports, or you do hear reports once in a while, of hot air balloon accidents.
Yeah.
So it's certainly not totally safe up there.
No.
So you better know what you're doing or go with somebody who has some experience with that.
Sure.
But in any case, we're talking about the history of balloons in our All English lesson today. And one of the most thrilling ways to enjoy a warm, sunny day is by floating through the air in a hot air balloon. Yes, it's June now. It's summer, so we are experiencing warm, if not sunny days, blisteringly hot days. And yes, sometimes it can be really hot on the ground. If you go up into the air, maybe it's a bit cooler up there. So yeah, you could float through the air and have a thrilling way to enjoy a warm, sunny day. So here, thrilling is describing something that's very exciting. It's thrilling to ride on a roller coaster, for example.
It sure is. Or maybe for some of you, you've been skydiving before where you jump out of airplanes and use a parachute to land safely on the ground. That can be thrilling. Or maybe for some of you, meeting your favorite celebrity was thrilling for you. Getting someone's autograph was really fun. So it's something that's really exciting. So it could be a really thrilling way to enjoy a warm, sunny day. You kind of need warm air for a hot air balloon to really rise well. So that would be a good thing to do on a warm, sunny day. Now, before airplanes were invented, is our meaning here, it was balloons that provided man's first flight toward the heavens above. The heavens just refer to the sky. So that's how man, or people in general, first made their way up into the sky, was by riding on these hot air balloons, or in these hot air balloons, we should say. We didn't have planes until just recently.
Yeah, probably only just over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And yes, you did mention the heavens just refers to the sky. It does refer to the universe, and here it's being used in the plural form. But if you say it was man's first flight toward heaven, well, then heaven is referring to the paradise that many religions believe in. That would be a proper noun there, heaven, but here the heavens just refers to a general area above us, the sky, the universe, etc. So even prior to that, smaller hot air balloons, incapable of carrying the weight of a human, were floated in China nearly 2 millennia ago. And that, of course, refers to a period of time of 2,000 years. Millennia is the plural form of the noun millennium, which is a period of 1,000 years. We just got into a new millennium about, 14 years ago or so. It's already been that long? My goodness, it seems like just yesterday when it was 2000. But in any case here, this is a bit about the history of balloons prior to that, which means before people were riding in hot air balloons in the sky, prior to that, before that, they were flying hot air balloons in the sky, but they did not have people in them. They were incapable of carrying the weight of a human. So if something's incapable, it is not able to. It does not have the capacity to do something.
I'm incapable of running a marathon, I could say. I can run a couple of kilometers, but a marathon, no way. It would kill me. So if you're incapable of doing something, as Tom said, you're unable to do it. You're maybe incapable of eating a lot of sweet food. I'm incapable to eating a pig's ear. I can't eat pig's ears yet.
Wow.
They kind of gross me out. Well, this hot air balloon, when it was smaller, really wasn't able to hold the weight of a human being. That balloon would just crush or fall to the ground.
Probably didn't even get up there in the first place because they hadn't figured out how to make a balloon that big.
No, they could fly in the air in China 2,000 years ago. We're going to find out how this happened by looking at a bit of history. in China. So the use of floating balloons was taken up by Zhuge Liang during the Three Kingdoms era. That was a long time ago. If you take up something, it just means you start doing something. Maybe you've taken up a new hobby. I've taken up a new hobby of knitting, making sweaters out of yarn. That's just an example. I really haven't. Mm-hmm. So he started using balloons during the Three Kingdoms period. What were they used for? We're going to find out.
Well, he used the airborne flames called Kunming lanterns to send signals during military campaigns. So again, this is the concept or idea of using floating balloons, which was taken up or it was used or it was adapted by Zhuge Liang way back in the Three Kingdoms era, which was quite a long time ago. And again, these balloons were incapable of carrying the weight of a human, but they could send signals up in the air. I wish I knew what these things looked like.
Yeah.
They're called Kunming lanterns, and they were using airborne flames. If you go out to Pingxi or Shifenliao in, New Taipei City now,
mm-hmm.
They have these stores that sell these lanterns that you can light on fire, at least inside there, and then the flames will make that lantern go up in the sky. So this is a similar concept here, airborne flames. So the flames are actually airborne. They're up in the sky underneath this sack, I guess you could say, some kind of bag, and therefore it allows it to go up in the air. And they were using this to send signals, which, of course, is some kind of information during military campaigns, when an army was trying to invade another area, they needed to send signals to their troops. No, don't go forward. You're going to walk into an ambush there. You'll be trapped. Oh, no, go ahead. The enemy is weak there. We can take over that town right now. Do it.
We can defeat them. We can kill them. Kunming lanterns, if you look it up in Wikipedia, you'll find that another term for it in English is just sky lanterns. And like Tom said, we do use tiandang during festival season here, during Lantern Festival. Similar to that, not exactly the same, of course. Well, they use these to send signals, which was really smart. So that's how they first were used a long, long time ago. Now, although direct evidence is lacking, we don't have any real proof. If it's something's lacking, you don't have what you need. And evidence is something that shows that something exists or it's true. You could also say evidence is another word for proof, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this was a long time ago. We don't have any direct evidence. Some historians, though, believe that the Chinese also experimented with manned balloons. Interesting. If you're a historian, your job is to write about history. So a lot of people who go to school and get their PhDs in history, go on to become historians and write history books and textbooks for students and probably become professors, typically.
But they probably don't make as much money as investors in the stock market do or something like that. So if you're considering being a historian, think about your future salary there before you make that decision, although it's a very fascinating subject. But again, historians maybe have looked over old documents or looked at old drawings, and, well, they're not sure. They don't have some solid evidence, but they believe or they think that the Chinese also experimented with manned balloons. If you experiment with something, that means you kind of try it to see what's going to happen. So they may have tried it. We don't know if they were successful or not. And here we have the word manned, which means there is a person in the balloon. We're using the word man here, but it refers to either a man or a woman, just a person being in some kind of ship.
Yeah, for example, nowadays we have some unmanned space capsules or space vehicles that are going to Mars.
Like the moon rabbit on Mars, it's unmanned.
We can't put people in them, right? So it's unmanned. So if it's manned, it's either carried or done by a person. They tried little experiments with these man balloons. I feel sorry for the people who were being experimented on. Perhaps some of those balloons weren't successful and those people died.
Well, maybe they sent up monkeys first. Who knows?
I hope they weren't people who had families. Of course, monkeys have families too, right?
Right, but yeah, you'd rather send a monkey up than a human, right?
I would.
Just in case. Mm-hmm. They did send monkeys into space first before they sent men up there. But in any case, this is all about the manned balloons that they think the Chinese experimented with, but they're just not sure.
Yeah, if you experiment with something, you try it out to see if it works. Sometimes I'm at home and I want to fix something and I don't have the right tool. So I'll kind of experiment with using different sorts of instruments like a knife or a heavy book to pound, you know, something in. So if you experiment, you try something to see if it works, to see if your theory is correct. We're going to find out more about the history behind the hot air balloon, guys. But first, it's time for us to take a break.
Welcome back. Let's continue with our lesson, everybody. Where we left off, we're talking about the history of balloons. Yes, the Chinese were using lanterns or balloons to send signals during military campaigns, but historians aren't really sure whether Chinese people actually sent people up into the sky in a balloon. And while there is some mystery regarding whether any pre-modern Chinese person took flight by balloon, there is no doubt that balloons first flew in the Far East. So, yes, there's some mystery regarding whether they went up in a balloon with a man. Regarding here just means when you're considering this, you could also say in regard to.
Yeah, regarding here is a preposition. It simply means about. You could actually substitute the word about here. So while there is some mystery about whether any pre-modern Chinese person took flight by balloon, there's really no doubt that balloons first started or first flew in the Far East. And we are living in the Far East, people. We're in Asia, but we're in the Far East part. Now, took flight is the past tense of the verb phrase to take flight. If something takes flight, it begins flying. So that's what that means there. Hundreds of years later, after these Chinese were experimenting with these manned balloons, perhaps manned balloons, perhaps unmanned balloons, the explosion of scientific thought in Europe brought the balloon to new heights. If you bring something to new heights, sometimes it can be literal. It means it actually goes up in altitude. It goes up higher than it was before. Here it just means it became more and more successful, more and more advanced, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's an explosion of scientific thought, they're talking about things that were discovered in science. And if there's an explosion of new ideas, it just means there are a lot of new ideas happening at the same time. A lot of people were coming up with ways to explain things that had been mysteries earlier on. Our science really advanced during this time in Europe.
And in the late 1700s, Professor Jacques Charles created the first hydrogen balloon.
Mm.
Hydrogen is a gas, of course. It's the first element. Hydrogen, of course, is what's fueling the sun with hydrogen fusion. And here they used hydrogen to float a balloon. And the balloon was buoyant because it was lighter than air because of that hydrogen. Hydrogen is a very light gas. If something is buoyant, that means it will float either on the water or in the air.
Mm-hmm. It's the lightest of all gases that we have. It says here the balloon was buoyant. You can be buoyant and just be able to float, but you can also use this adjective, guys, to describe someone who's happy and confident. If you feel buoyant today, it just means, oh, you feel great. You feel happy. You feel like everything's going to go your way. Well, this balloon was able to float because it was lighter than air. As we said, hydrogen is the lightest of all gases, so it's actually lighter than air, so it floats quite easily.
And, of course, this invention was pretty cool, and this development motivated others to create their own hot air balloons. Hey, Jacques just made that hydrogen balloon and floated it up there. Real cool there. I want to try that, too. So they were motivated, which means you have some incentive. Something excites you to do something, and therefore you go ahead and try it.
Lots of things can motivate you to do something or give you a reason to do something. Maybe your parents motivate you. Maybe you have a teacher that you really admire who has motivated you to study harder so you can enter a good university and eventually get a really good job and career. Lots of things can motivate you. Sometimes music or a poem can motivate you to become more creative. It can also inspire you. So motivate and inspire are similar. It just gives you a reason to do something, to become active. So some of these people thought, hey, I can do that too. So they went off to try to create their own hot air balloons.
And hydrogen-filled balloons as well. So in 1783, both hot air and hydrogen-filled balloons successfully lifted human passengers into the skies over France. So that happened in France. Lots of wonderful things happened in France. I think the bicycle was kind of perfected in France as well as wine. And yes, indeed, this happened way back in 1783 before the French Revolution, I believe. So the French we can thank the French for sending people up into the skies over France. Although, again, we're just not sure whether the Chinese had done that. There just aren't any records concerning that.
Now, the balloon's basic design has been constantly improved throughout the years. So they've been trying to make it better and better and better. Constantly means again and again and again without stopping. Now, the past few centuries have witnessed balloons' expansion into various aspects of life. If you witness something, you see it happen with your own eyes. And if you're expanding, this noun expansion talks about the act of becoming bigger or making something bigger. Maybe you've written a short story in your literature class and your teacher asks you to expand it into a novel, to make it longer, to make it bigger. So expansion just talks about how balloons started going into other areas of our lives, not just people who wanted to fly over the land that they lived in. We're seeing balloons today at colorful parties.
Yeah.
Balloons are a fun way to celebrate, aren't they? Kids especially love to see colored balloons at parties. Sometimes I get balloons delivered to a friend who's having a birthday just as a surprise.
Sure, and sometimes you can have balloons that are filled with helium, not hydrogen. Hydrogen is highly flammable. It will explode, catch fire. So they use helium. It's much safer.
Helium is that fun gas that if you inhale it, you start talking in a really high voice like Donald Duck.
Yeah, I've done that myself before. It's kind of fun, although I don't think you want to do that too often.
Not though. Too much,
yeah,
no.
It might damage your lungs or something. I don't know. But in any case, yes, balloons are all over. You can use them as colorful party decorations.
Uh-huh.
You can fill them with water and throw them at people and have water balloon fights. Also, scientists use weather balloons to soar and collect meteorological data. Try to say that word 10 times with your hands tied behind your back and blindfolded. Meteorological.
Yeah.
There you go. Soar just means you're flying high in the sky like eagles soar. I always see eagles soaring over the mountains in Mao Kong, for example. But in any case, yes, they send these weather balloons up there to get information about the weather. That's what meteorology is. Meteorology. And the adjective for that is meteorological. It's even hard for me to say.
Or if you're a person that forecasts the weather on TV news programs, you're a meteorologist. That's also kind of hard to say. So meteorological data is just perhaps temperatures that are being gathered from the clouds or whether a cloud is going to rain. I don't know what kind of data.
Moisture levels, barometric pressure, wind speed.
Is just information, that they're getting from the atmosphere. Now, here's another way we're seeing balloons used in a different aspect of life. They're used by doctors called cardiologists. A cardiologist is a heart doctor, a heart specialist.
And they use those balloons to inflate blood vessels Inflate just means to fill something with air, like you'll inflate your tires on your bicycle before you go for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this in the blood vessels of patients. Blood vessels is where your blood flows in your body. This aids in circulation, which means things move around in a system, blood circulation. And with all these benefits, calling the balloon one of mankind's greatest inventions isn't just hot air.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, our writer is full of humor, has quite a sense of humor. We should explain that. If you're full of hot air, it means you're just talking nonsense. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no one's going to listen to someone who's just full of hot air. They just like to hear themselves talk. Inflate can also be substituted by the verb phrase to blow up. For mm-hmm. example, maybe you need to blow up your balloon. Balloons aren't always filled with helium or hydrogen. You can just use the air from your lungs, oxygen, right? That's how I blow up balloons. Or you might want to inflate or blow up your balloon with water so you can play a trick on a friend and throw a water balloon at them and get them wet. Actually, I don't mind water balloons being thrown at me during the hot summer here in Taiwan.
Well, you don't want them thrown at you if you're going to work. But if you're, enjoying a nice Saturday afternoon
sure.
in the park with your friends and family, hey, sure, go ahead and have a water balloon fight.
That's fun.
So these are different uses for balloons. Of course, if you're really excited about going up into the air, you can go up in a hot air balloon or a helium balloon.
Yeah. Let's get back to talking about how they can help our health, our body.
Sure.
We've got these heart doctors who actually inflate your blood vessels. If you have a heart problem, a heart issue, a blocked blood vessel, your doctor will put some sort of, it's kind of like a balloon inside the blood vessel and blow it up or inflate it. So it gives your blood vessels more space for the blood to circulate. A vessel is just some sort of vein or artery that carries blood throughout your body. When you have a heart attack, it's because one of those blood vessels or arteries got blocked. There was something blocking the blood from traveling smoothly. So you'll have a heart attack. So that's a way to prevent heart attacks. Now, circulation is a non-count noun that refers to the movement of blood through our body. It happens through the pumping action of our hearts. If you put your hand on your heart, you can feel it go bump, 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 bump. That's pumping. It's pumping that blood through your body.
Indeed. So these are some of the basic uses of balloons that we've been talking about. You can use them as signals in military campaigns. You can send people up in them. You can send your wishes up into the sky during Lantern Festival if you head out to Pingxi and places like that to launch those sky lanterns. And yes, meteorologists use them to collect weather data, and doctors inflate blood vessels to improve circulation. Although I'm kind of curious about that. If there's a balloon in your blood vessel, doesn't that, like, block the blood flow?
No, it's called a stent. It's actually called a stent, and it's removed after they expand the blood vessel, they take the stent out.
Yeah, if you keep it in there, you're going to have some problems there. Mm. So these do improve circulation. So again, here's the joke. Yes, calling balloons one of mankind's greatest inventions isn't just hot air. It isn't nonsense. It is a great invention. And if you have a chance, blow one up and enjoy it. Stick a pin in it, pop it, and have the time of your life. Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. It's been really great having you with us today, and we hope you join us again for our program next time. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.